Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our message today is the gospel lesson on page 4 and 5 from Luke chapter 4. Have you ever gone to a class reunion? You know, maybe some have, maybe some haven't. But you know, you go to your high school class reunion, and maybe you haven't seen those people, even though they were your friends for years. You haven't seen those people for maybe 10, 15, 20 years. And you always wonder what to expect, don't you? What are those people going to be like, especially the ones you haven't seen in 10, 15, or 20 years? And sometimes you're absolutely amazed, right? How things have changed. You know, the person who was voted most likely to succeed has kind of made a whole mess of his life and hasn't accomplished anything. And another kid in your class who was a total bonehead all the way through school is now this successful businessman. And that beautiful couple that everybody thought would be together forever have been divorced for years. And the other couple that did nothing but argue, and you thought they're not going to last a year, and they're still happily married 20 years later. And you're kind of shocked. I often wonder if the people in the synagogue in Nazareth, where this story in the Bible takes place, were kind of thinking the same thing. See, Jesus had grown up in Nazareth, and now Jesus came back to Nazareth, and he was invited to one of their synagogue services. And not only was he invited to the service, he was asked if he could read from the Old Testament scriptures, which was part of their service. People had probably heard a few things about Jesus and kind of were wondering, what's it going to be like to actually meet him? And it's at that point that Jesus reminds them of who he really is, and that's the Savior. And he also reminds them, and of course us, not only that he is the Savior, but what he had really come to accomplish. This actually, if you were here in church last week, this continues the gospel from last week. And Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and the synagogue leader handed Jesus a scroll, and Jesus opened it up, and these are the words that Jesus read. Actually, they were words from Pastor Brugge's sermon last Sunday. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I haven't had a chance to listen to Pastor Brugge's sermon yet, but I'm sure he pointed out to you very clearly that this referred to Jesus, right? So what Jesus did is he read from the scroll, he rolled it up, he handed it back to the synagogue ruler, and Jesus wasn't only going to read the scripture, he was also going to do some teaching. So Jesus hands the scroll back and he sits down. And we're told that everyone's eyes were fixed on Jesus. And just his presence and his reading of the scriptures drew people to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. So Jesus sat down, and the first words out of his mouth were, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And the people started thinking. And they said, these are gracious words. And then it finally sunk in what Jesus was actually saying to them. He not only read these words, he said he was the fulfillment of those words. Jesus was saying that he was the one who was anointed by the Spirit. He was the one who came to preach good news to the poor, to preach release for the prisoners, freedom for the captives, proclaim the day of the Lord's favor. And as they're thinking about it, and since they knew their Old Testament, and they knew that this was a prophecy of the coming Savior, it finally hit them what Jesus was really saying. Jesus was saying that he was the Messiah. Jesus was saying, I am the Savior. I'm the one Isaiah was talking about. And once that sunk in, they started to think, well, wait a minute. Isn't this Jesus? You know, right? The carpenter down the street, Joseph, this is his son Jesus? We know his mom. We know his brothers and sisters. And we knew he was successful, doing miracles or whatever. But this man who we've known since he was knee-high comes back and actually claims to be the Savior. And honestly, they couldn't fathom that. They couldn't understand it. You know, it's kind of like that bonehead kid in your class who comes back and is a successful lawyer or whatever. And you say, wait, this can't be true. And Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew exactly why they were saying what they were saying. What they really wanted Jesus to do is come to Nazareth, and they wanted to see some miracles. Because isn't that what Jesus said? You know, Jesus said, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, and do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. And their whole motivation for coming to see Jesus starts to come out, doesn't it? They wanted to see some miracles. And what Jesus said to them was really going to disappoint them. Because Jesus refers to two Old Testament Bible stories about Elijah and Elisha. And he says, well, do you remember how the famine hit Israel and people were starving to death and God sent Elijah to a widow at Zarephath to provide food for her and her son? Even though there were all kinds of starving widows and children right in Israel? Or do you remember Elisha when the Syrian general Naaman came to him and he cured him of his leprosy, even though there were all kinds of people in Israel who had leprosy that he didn't cure? So what was he saying? Jesus was telling them, I didn't come here simply to impress you with miracles. I came here to do what the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed me to do. I came to preach the good news, to proclaim freedom, release to the prisoners, and there's going to be no miracles here today. And what was their reaction? They got so angry with Jesus that they grabbed him, took him out of town to the edge of the cliff where the city was built, and they were going to throw him over the cliff and kill him. So much for hometown boy makes good, right? They just didn't get it. So what did Jesus do? Well, he used his divine power, not to do all kinds of miracles, but he used his divine power to simply walk away from them. And where did he go? He went back to Capernaum. And what was the reason? Because he simply said, this is not my time to die. This isn't going to happen today. And he walked away. But notice, Jesus is not the one who turned his back on the people in Nazareth. It was the people in Nazareth who turned their backs on Jesus because they didn't believe and accept that he was the promised Savior that Isaiah was talking about. Isn't that sad? I guess that's why Jesus said no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But, you know, just a sad situation that because Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do, because Jesus came back home and wasn't the person they thought he was going to be, they walked away. And they totally rejected him. But yet, this is just one of the many stories in the Bible where it shows how people stopped believing in Jesus, rejected Jesus as the Savior, simply because he said some things they didn't like, or he didn't do the things they asked him to do. All they wanted Jesus to do was be this miracle worker. They didn't want to hear about their sin. They didn't want to hear about the consequences of sin. All they wanted was healing. Isn't that a warning for us and a message for us to take to heart? You know, I often wonder where there are so many people who, in our world today, who they look to Jesus and, you know, I think it's pretty hard to find someone who says, oh, I've never heard of Jesus. You know, or even someone to say, well, the Bible teaches us about Jesus. I'm just, well, of course it does. But the real question is, what does it teach us? And so many people look at Jesus as just this wonderful human being, this great teacher who performed some wonderful miracles. And then what happens? Well, if Jesus doesn't perform those miracles for them, right, and do the things they want Jesus to do and become the kind of Savior they're looking for, well, then they have no interest. In fact, I often wonder sometimes if they look at us as Christians and kind of look at us and say, well, wait a minute. You guys have the same problems I have, right? We get the same diseases and illnesses that everybody else gets. We're not immune from them. You know, we can run into the same kind of financial problems everybody else does. We're subject to the same kind of grief and sorrow, right, that everybody else does. And I wonder if they look at us and say, well, what kind of Savior is Jesus if he's going to fail his followers that way? What's your answer to that? Or maybe a better question is, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that Jesus has let you down? Especially if you've gone to Jesus and asked for something specific and it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. Now, have you ever looked around and say, well, wait a minute, if Jesus could do all of this for all these other people, when's he going to do something for me? Why isn't he curing my diseases? Why isn't he helping me out of my financial crisis? Why isn't he lifting this burden of grief and sorrow off my heart? And if we start thinking that way, it's very easy to go to the next step and say, I don't think Jesus is being very fair to me. I don't think Jesus is the kind of Savior that I really want Jesus to be. So what are you going to do? Turn and walk away? And if you did that, where would that leave you? It would leave you with all the same problems and no Savior, right? Because why did Jesus come? He was the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord anointed him to preach good news to the poor. And what was the good news? To preach freedom for the captives. Freedom from what? release to the prisoners. Releasing them from what? Give sight to the blind, making them see what? To see Jesus, right? The freedom Jesus is talking about is freedom from sin and death and hell. The release he's talking about is releasing us from the consequences of our sin. The blindness he's curing is the blinders that people have on so that we can see the light and see Jesus for who he really is, our Savior from sin. And the good news he has to preach isn't that you'll never be sick, you'll never worry, you'll never have heartache, and you'll never have a financial problem in your life. The good news he's preaching is the good news of salvation, right? Jesus' time to die would come. But it wasn't going to be on a cliff outside of Nazareth. It was going to be on a cross outside of Jerusalem. That's the Savior Jesus is. Our Savior from sin, and our only hope of eternal life. And none of us would ever want to walk away from that, would we? And if that's the kind of Savior you want, then that's exactly the Savior Jesus is. Amen.